All right, 1 Samuel chapter number 18. How many of you believe if you were to go out and kill a giant, that might bring you a little notoriety? You think so? David went from a nobody, just a kid out in the field keeping sheep, to being a renowned giant killer last week. And that incredible feat brought David a lot of fame, a lot of notoriety. King Saul himself stood up, took notice, gave David a position in the palace. Basically, he's general over all the armies. He's Saul's right-hand man now. He's the general over all the armies of Israel. Verse number 2, look at that real quick. 18, verse 2. And Saul took him that day, took David, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. He said, son, you're staying with me. You're going to be my right-hand man. You're going to be over all the armies. But you know what? You know what, though, church? You're going to find out as you read. Some of David's greatest tests, some of his greatest trials, would not be out on the battlefield against Philistines. Some of David's greatest tests would be dealing with King Saul in the king's court. You see, life's all about relationships. It's about our daily relationships with each other. But life is also a series of tests. Life is a series of tests and trials. Life is all about the daily choices that we make. But here's the key to it all. In your handout, it says the key to a life of daily victory is a constant walk with Jesus Christ. That's the key to it all. A constant walk with Jesus Christ. I want you to notice a recurring theme in this chapter. Okay, go with me now. I'm not going to tell you what the theme is. I'm going to read the verses. I'm going to let you figure it out. Look at verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Look down at verse number 28. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. What's the theme? Come on, talk to me. The Lord was what? It was with David. The Lord was with David in all that he endeavored to do. Now, in the Old Testament, it was a little bit different. God would come on a person for a certain task, and God would come on them or even dwell in them and so that they could go out and do whatever it is God had for them to do. Today, it's different. Today, the moment that you trust Jesus Christ, the moment that you believe on Christ and trust Him to save you from your sins, the moment you put your faith in what He did for you on that cross, at that very moment that you put your faith in Christ, God's Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of you. Every believer has Christ's Spirit inside of them. But the idea here in this chapter is that David welcomed God's presence in his life. He truly desired to walk with God. Enoch, way back in the beginning of Genesis, Enoch walked with God. David walked with the Lord. Does that describe you today? Do you walk with the Lord? You know, I think the first question is this. Do you have God's presence in your heart? You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I have God's presence in my heart. Well, glory! We can help you with that. We can show you from the Bible how you can know that you have God's presence in your heart. We can show you from the Bible what Christ has already done for you. You don't have to work for it or earn it or deserve it. We can show you how by your faith in Jesus Christ, you can have God's presence in your heart and life today. If you do have it, if you do have God's presence, my question is this. Are you welcoming His presence? Are you really seeking to walk with Him in daily fellowship? You know, Paul said in Colossians 2:6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. It's that daily walk. Look at the verse on the screen, 2 Corinthians 6:16. Paul said, in what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Hey, where does God live today? Does He live in this building? No. Where does He live today? He lives in who? Us, in believers. The Bible says we're the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. According to that verse, God not only wants to dwell in you, He wants to what? walk in you. Isn't that interesting? That is indicative of that daily walk, that daily fellowship with Christ after you're saved. We see that exemplified in David's life, and we see the blessings, and we see the benefits of a daily walk with the Lord. Every believer must engage in a daily walk with Jesus Christ. The most important thing in your life is your daily walk with Christ. Why is that so important? Number one, in your handout, we see in David's life, number one, your daily walk with Christ will enhance your relationship with others. It will enhance your relationship with others. Is Christ compatible with himself? Now that's a dumb question, really. Of course he is. Christ is Christ isn't conflicting with himself. Christ is compatible with himself. You say, well, wait a minute. What's the point? Here's the point. If you get two people, let's say a husband and a wife, and both of them are walking with Christ, both of them are in daily communion with Christ, they're walking with him, they're letting Christ live in their life. Let me ask you something. If both husband and wife are walking with Christ, do you think there'll be harmony in their relationship? Yeah. Christ is compatible with himself. So if I'm letting Christ live through me, and I'm walking with him, and my wife over here, Denise, she's walking with him, then are we going to be compatible? Yeah. If Denise and I have problems, if we have friction in our relationship, is it Christ in us that's the problem, yes or no? No, the problem is I'm quenching the Spirit of Christ, or she is, and one or both of us, we want our way. We want our way, not Christ. We don't want Christ to have his way. We want our way. So we quench the Spirit of Christ. Now it's all about Dan, and now there's sandpaper friction. Here in our text is a great example of this. Now, does anybody remember who was King Saul's son? Jonathan. Jonathan was King Saul's son. Question, who did God choose to be the next king after Saul? David. By all human logic and human rights, who should have been the next king? Jonathan. Whoa. Would you agree with me that if you've got one man who's God has chosen to be king and anointed, you got another man who's the king's son that by all human logic and rights should be the next king, do you think there might be a recipe there for Jonathan and David to butt heads, yes or no? Oh, yeah. But you know what the amazing thing is? Here's what's amazing. The exact opposite was true. They actually became so tight, so close, such best friends. Look with me at verse number 18:1. And it came to pass when he made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Whew. Jonathan, we know, was a man of great faith that walked with the Lord. Remember chapter 14? Remember when Saul was sitting under a tree with his sword over against the tree? And you remember the Philistines had him surrounded? And you remember Jonathan looked at his armor bearer and said, let's go get us some Philistines. Who can know if the Lord will work for us? And you remember how Jonathan went out and he won a great victory because he walked with the Lord and he had a great faith? Well, here you got Jonathan walking with the Lord. Here you got David walking with the Lord. And even though circumstances said there ought to be friction, was there harmony there? There was harmony. In verse number 16, it says, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. You see, look up here. As David sought to have his vertical relationship right with God, as David walked with the Lord, this enhanced his horizontal relationship with others. In your handout, it says that the foundation of your life should be your relationship and walk with Christ. All of your other relationships are predicated on this. If your walk with Christ is not where it ought to be, it will ill affect your other relationships. Listen, when I don't walk with the Lord, and by the way, many times I've had days when I didn't walk with the Lord. It was all about me. Listen, you say, well, you work up at church. Listen, I can come to church on Monday morning. I can do my work. And do you think it's possible for me to do it all through the power of the flesh? Absolutely. I can come up here and do it all, and it be all about me. Never seek the Lord, never walk with the Lord, never seek His face, never commune with Him. Sure, I can get in the flesh and walk in the flesh, after the flesh, just as easy as you can. But you know what? When I'm not walking with the Lord, my relationship with my wife isn't as sweet. When I'm not walking with the Lord, my relationship with my boys aren't as sweet. When I'm not walking with the Lord, my relationship with my fellow workers isn't as sweet. When I'm walking with the Lord, my relationship with you, my friends, my loved ones here in Christ, isn't as sweet. When I don't walk with the Lord, it's like a domino effect. When I'm not walking with the Lord, it seems like nothing else is right. And why? Because everything in your life is to be predicated on your relationship and your walk with Jesus Christ. But number two, the second thing I want to bring out about David is that because he walked with the Lord, it took the fear out of life. You know, the Bible says that fear brings torment. Fear brings torment. Man, how true that is. How many of you have ever been fearful? Some of you have never been scared. Until right now. You're scared because you knew you didn't raise your hand and you lied in church. And you're scared. No. But no, we've all been scared. I mean, that's a dumb question. We've all had fear. But you know what? As you look around the world today, it's a world full of fear. People are afraid they're going to, you know, lose their health. People are fearful that they're going to die. People fear death. A lot of folks are scared to death their marriage is going to break up, or that something's going to happen to their kids. They live in fear they're going to lose their job. They can't pay their bills at the end of the month. And on we could go. And a lot of times we fear people. We fear what people think about us. We fear what they're going to do to us. We fear what people will say about us. And here in our text, King Saul is a guy full of fear. He's full of paranoia. The Bible says that he heard the praises and the acclaims that the people were heaping on David after he killed Goliath. And he got real jealous and he got real angry. And what happened was, when they were coming back from battle, the Bible says that the women folk, the ladies, the Bible says they were singing and they were dancing. And the Bible says that they were singing that Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. Do you think that made Saul real happy to hear that? I mean, that'd be like me walking in church on Sunday morning, and all of a sudden I come in, and ladies are just kind of doing this up and down the aisle. And ladies are going, Pastor Dan is a good preacher, but Pastor Rob is a great preacher. And I'm looking around watching these ladies. Pastor Dan's a good preacher. Pastor Rob's a great preacher. Yeah, you see, old King Saul didn't like that. Let me tell you something. I better be walking with the Lord, huh? Yeah. King Saul wasn't. And he got real paranoid. And he got real angry and real jealous. In fact, look at verse 8. What does it say when he heard all that? It says there, verse 8, and Saul was very what? He was wroth. He's mad as a hornet. And the saying displeased him. He said, they've ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they've ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Y'all know what it means to eye somebody? You ever have anybody eye you? Well, you know what Saul did? He got so jealous, he tried to murder David twice. David was in the palace playing the harp for Saul like he'd do when Saul would get all keyed up. And look at verse 11. It says, "And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice." Two times he tries to kill David by smiting him with a javelin against the wall. Now, folks, look, throwing tomatoes at somebody is one thing, but throwing javelins is another. Look, you guys may not like my preaching, and you can throw tomatoes and hymn books at me, but when you start throwing javelins, I'm out of here, folks. I'm done. Pastor Rob takes over at that point. I'm done. Well, God delivered David twice. And when that failed, Saul said, you know, I better take a little bit more clever approach to this thing. Why should my hand be against David? I'll let the Philistines, our enemies, kill him. And so he begins to send David out into some situations on purpose where he believes David will be killed in battle. Somebody came to David and said, David, did you hear what King Saul said? What? And Saul set him up to tell David this. Anyone who kills 100 Philistines and brings back proof, King Saul's going to give them that gorgeous chick daughter of his to marry. Michael is her name. And he's going to give them Michael. And at first, when they mentioned to David about being the king's son-in-law, he's like, who am I? I'm from a poor family. What kind of dowry could I? I can't do anything. They said, all you got to do is go out and kill 100 Philistines, and she's yours. And David's like, well, that's something I can't do. I can go out and whoop up on some Philistines. David goes out. He doesn't kill 100. He kills 200. He kills 200, brings back proof, and Saul ends up giving him Michal, like he promised, to marry. Every time Saul tried to kill David, it backfired. I read this chapter, and you know what I thought of? Saul's constantly trying to think up ways and scheme up ways to kill David, and every time he does, it backfires. You know what it reminded me of? How many of y'all remember the old cartoon, The Roadrunner and the Coyote? And every time the coyote tries to kill Roadrunner, what happens? He ends up getting smashed, doesn't he? You know, and he can't ever get the Roadrunner. And King Saul, man's like Coyote. He's trying to, you know, come up with all of these clever ways to kill David, and he can't ever get him. He can't get his hands around his neck. David's like the Roadrunner. He's always, whoop, scoots away. And let me tell you something. That really shook up old Saul. In fact, if you look down there at verse number 28, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, and Saul was yet the more afraid of David. Man, it shook the old boy up. But you know what I look at when I look at David? Here's this young man. He hadn't done anything wrong. The king of the nation's trying to kill him. But yet we don't see David panicking. We don't see him fretting. We see a humble yet a bold and a confident young man. How could that be? I'm going to tell you how. He knew he was walking with the Lord. And when you are walking with Jesus Christ, it takes the fear out of life. Look in your handout. It's Psalm 118 and verse 6. The psalmist wrote here, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 there in your handout. If you'll turn it over, we'll read the last part of that verse. Turn your handout over. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not," what? "Fear what man shall do unto me." Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, 7 in your handout, "For God hath not given us the spirit of" what? "Of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Look at the screen. Psalm 56, verse 4. "In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Listen, when you are walking with the Lord, when you're walking with Christ in daily communion, You don't have to fear what this world can throw at you. You don't have to fear what man can throw at you. You know that God is on your side. And Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Saul, on the other hand, was fearful, paranoid. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he, David, behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Why would Saul be afraid of a young man who was walking with the Lord? I'm going to tell you why. Because Saul was no longer walking with the Lord. And because he wasn't walking with the Lord, you know what Saul was? He was full of himself. And because he was full of himself, he was full of fear, full of paranoia. You see, when you walk with the Lord, it takes the fear out of life. What can man do unto me? What can Satan do to me? I'm God's. I'm walking with Him. I'm walking with my Lord in daily communion. Why should I fear what man can do unto me? Whew, that's powerful. Number three, and the last point is this. Why should we engage in a daily walk with Christ? Number three, it will enable you to cope with disappointment. Now, in verses 13 through 19, David is handed two great disappointments. The first one was this. You remember I told you David was made the general over the whole army? Well, guess what? Saul demotes David from being a general over the entire army and makes him a captain over 1,000 men. Why? What did David do wrong? Nothing. Nothing. The only reason Saul did it is because he was paranoid. He was fearful. He was jealous of David. So the guy goes from being a general, 5-star general over the whole army, and they come to him and say, hey, David, we got some news for you. Oh, yeah, what? You're not general anymore. You're not Saul's right-hand man anymore. Really, why? We don't know. Saul just told us to tell you. Well, what do I do now? Am I third in command? Fourth? No. What am I? Am I general? No. Colonel? No. Well, what am I? You're a captain over those 1,000 guys over there. Whew. Talking about disappointment. Not only that, in this chapter, Saul makes David a promise and then just rips his heart out at the last second. Look with me. What he does is he promises David that he's going to be able to marry his oldest daughter, not Michael, his oldest daughter, Merib. Look at verse 19. He promises David that he's going to marry Merib. Look at verse 19. But it came to pass at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Maholathite. Can't you just see it? Somebody comes up to David and says, hey, David, did you hear what happened today? No, what? Merib got married. Got married? My fiance? Yeah, she married somebody else. Can you imagine how that just tore his heart out? My fiance got married today. Yeah, some guy named Adriel. How did David respond? Did he get mad? Did he explode? Did he get angry? Did he start throwing things? Did he throw a temper tantrum? Did he pout? Did he quit? Did he give up? Did he blame God? Did he stop serving God? Look at verse 14. Let me show you how old David responds here. Verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was what, church? With him. He remained faithful and he kept serving God. Did David deserve better? Yes or no? Was he done dirty? Yes or no? But he stayed faithful in the place where God had called him. Why? How could he cope with such disappointment? The Lord was with him. He was walking with the Lord. In your handout, it says, even when you walk with the Lord, disappointments are sure to come. Now, I know some of you think if you're walking with the Lord, that you're going to have a tiptoe through the tulips. You think if you're walking through, some of you under the delusion, if I walk with the Lord, disappointments aren't going to come into my life. Everything's going to go my way. There will be no injustices done to me. There'll be nothing unfair done to me. I'm just going to be promoted left and right in my job. If I walk with the Lord, I'm going to have prosperity and I'm going to have whatever I want. Well, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but disappointments are a part of life. And it's a, you know why? It's a part of this sin-cursed earth that we live on. When you love God and you walk with Him, not everybody's going to like you and pat you on the back. If you look down at verse 28, it says, "And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's what? Enemy continually." In your handout, it says there, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's just part of the sin-cursed earth, the satanic-controlled environment we live in right now. Look up here. That's why your walk with the Lord is the most important thing in your life. When disappointments and heartaches come, you can stay faithful. You can still behave yourself wisely, just like David did. Remember, David did eventually become king. But if he didn't walk with the Lord, he wouldn't have remained faithful. And if he wouldn't have remained faithful, he would have never become king. And all throughout this chapter, through the good, through the bad, he's promoted to general. He's the giant killer. Everybody is singing songs about him. Oh, by the way, you've been demoted to being a captain. Over 1,000 guys. The king's daughter is mine. I get to marry her. By the way, David, she married somebody else today. Through the good, through the bad. When King Saul said, "Come on, son, you're with me. You're my right-hand man." To King Saul, whoo! Throwing javelins at him, acting like David's a dartboard. Through all that, he remained faithful. He continued to walk with the Lord. It's the most important thing in your life. What's the end result of all this? Well, look at the last verse. It says, "Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth." I'm in the last verse. "That David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by." Do you know what that means? It means that David kept, in your handout it says, David kept a good name among the people. Through the ups and downs, the good and the bad, he kept a good name. That means he had a good testimony for the Lord. Look at the bottom of your handout. Would you look at that with me? It's Proverbs 22:1. "A good name is rather to be chosen than what? Great riches." Now look up here. Before you put your handout up, I want you to listen to your pastor very closely. It takes consistency and faithfulness to establish a good name. But it only takes a few minutes to destroy it. It only takes you blowing up and losing your temper in front of a bunch of people or doing something stupid to lose your testimony. That took you years to build up and it's gone in a few minutes. That's why your walk with Christ is so crucial. Are you walking with Jesus Christ daily? Are you reading His Word? Are you communing with Him? Are you talking to Him? Are you depending on Him all throughout the day? You see, a walk with the Lord doesn't mean I get up in the morning, I read a chapter of the Bible, I say a quick prayer before I scoot off to work, and that's it. A walk with the Lord is something that goes on all day long. Let me ask you a question. Can I talk to the Lord while I'm at work? Could I even commune with Him while I'm talking to another person? I've done it many times. You're talking to somebody and maybe you're in a tough situation, and while I'm talking to them, they don't know it, but I'm talking to the Lord. Lord, I sure need You. Lord, help me to have the right words to say here. Let me ask Him, can you talk to the Lord when you're in the store, when you're in line at the grocery store? Hey, let me tell you something. When you're in the line at the grocery store and there's a lady writing a check in the express line in front of you, that's just wrong. I hope no members of Crossroads do that. When a lady's writing a check in the express line in front of you, you better be talking to the Lord, or you might lose your testimony. Over at Publix by our house, I think every single cashier there has been to our church at one time or another. They all know who I am. I better be walking with the Lord. The bill is $5.98. And the lady's got a $5 bill and says, "Now I think I've got the 98 cents. Starts rooting around in the purse. Isn't it amazing how much change is in the bottom of a woman's purse? And she just keeps pulling it out and counting out the 98 cents, and you're in a hurry. Yeah, you better be talking to the Lord. You can commune and talk to Him and walk with Him right there. Right there. Can you talk to the Lord when you're in your car? Can you walk with Him in your car, yes or no? Now, I suggest you watch and pray when you do that. Don't bow your head and close your eyes, all right? But you know what? When you're in your car, some person cuts you off, you can walk with the Lord. Because you know what? If you're in communion with the Lord, you'll respond in the right way. But if you're not walking with the Lord, if you're not in communion with Him, somebody cuts you off. And there's a bumper sticker on your car. I love Jesus. Thank goodness we don't have any Crossroads bumper stickers. I've always shied away. People have asked me about those through the years, and I'm like, no, thank you. Too many people don't act like Christians when they're in their car. I just soon leave the advertising somewhere else. Amen. But you know what? You can walk with the Lord when you're in your car. You can walk with the Lord when you're mowing the grass. You can walk with the Lord when you're at work. You can walk with the Lord when you're in the grocery store. You can walk with the Lord in every situation of life. You see, the whole idea of the Christian life, God wants a relationship with you, and He wants to walk with you 24/7. He wants to just walk with you in everything. God said, I want to dwell in them and walk in them. Is your walk with the Lord where it needs to be? And if it's not, let's allow this example of David to inspire us today. What a fine young man. He walked with the Lord through every situation. Let's walk with the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed.